Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. And it's Wednesday night. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to come together to explore the Word of God. I pray that everyone had a good week and that everyone is looking forward to what God has for them. I pray that we become more and more committed to the Word of God because it is our strength. God said He will never leave us nor forsake us, and we have to believe it and go through life doing the best that we can with what God is asking us to do. Well, our program tonight is coming from the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai only had two chapters, and everyone was asked to read both chapters so that you could get a good understanding how God dealt with His people in the Old Testament. But you always remember, however God dealt with them, it's the same way He will deal with us, because God does not change. His word stands. And the title of the lesson is Consider Your Ways. At this time, I'm going to play a song. And after the song is finished, we're going to go to the throne of grace in prayer, and then we're going to come back and explore the Word of God together. So the title of the song tonight is I'm Gonna Run Until I'm Finished. Well, I don't see that one coming up, so I'll change to another song. And the title of this song is I'm Right There in the Middle. What this song is really trying to get us to see, no matter what we're going through, no matter what comes our way, this song is saying, God is right there in the middle. And it's kind of like even when you can't hear God's voice, you just have to trust His plan because He is God. And yes, He do understand. There's nothing that is going on in your life that can take God by surprise. God knows everything from before the beginning, and all the way to the end of this world, and all the way through eternity. And God had you in mind before you were born. And He got you. He may not come when you want Him, but He's always on time. Because He's an on-time God. But you have to make up in your mind that you're going to trust Him. Not just for some things, but all things. And I'm going to play the song and come back. Thank you.
Sometimes it seems hard to see, I sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know I'm right there in the middle. Oh, when you cry. I made you happy. I know in my heart that you really love me. But other times I must question your faith. Oh, don't give up, always look up. Don't give in, I'm right there in the middle. Yeah, yeah, thank God I'm right there. Tried to take your hope away. I was there when you didn't know right from wrong. Yeah, I was there when your friends walked out on you. I was there when you didn't know what to do. Yeah, when you searched and found all of your family was gone. When you couldn't see your night from day. Oh,
should be a lot of encouragement to a lot of people, because no matter what you're going through, no matter how it feels, no matter how it looks, God is in the middle of everything, because his scripture said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if he could never leave you, then he's right there with you. And many times when you feel that God has abandoned you, you have to check yourself, and maybe you're walking a little bit away from God. So let us be encouraged that God is with us through the thick and the thin. And if he said it, you can believe it. Well, right now it's time to go to the throne of grace. And if anyone would like to pray for us tonight, please press the one button on your phone. And I'll open the mic. If anyone would like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight with humble hearts. Lord, we ask in that you look down on our Bible study tonight, dear God, and Holy Ghost, bring to memory for me things that you would want to be said to your people. Open up their hearts and their minds, dear God, that they could receive the word and they could apply it to their life. Lord, you know everything that you said in your word, no matter when it was said or who it was said to, the same could be applied in our lives. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your son. I thank you for your spirit. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that take time out of their busy schedule and call in so that we could come together, because there's power in numbers. Because you say it in your word, if two or more gather and touch and agree, that mighty things can happen. And for that I say thank you, dear God. For that I say I can't make it without you, dear God. For that I say, Lord, continue to bless the people, your people, dear God. Everyone on the phone, their families, their homes, dear God, their finances, and everybody listening on the internet, dear God, and everybody that's in a country other than the United States. Blessing upon all of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, and thank God. Well, I'll say the name of the lesson again because we have more callers. We're coming out of the book of Haggai. We're going to do the entire first chapter. And the title of the lesson is Consider Your Ways. That in itself is a lot. But I'm going to go ahead and do a little background right now. And the book of Haggai, it's in the Old Testament. And Haggai was one of God's minor prophets. And he's the one that wrote the book of Haggai. And plenty of times I say wrote. I used to say author, but I say wrote the writer, because everything in the word of God was inspired by God. And there's a scripture that says Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So if it was inspired to them what to write, I call them the writer. In the Bible, there's 17 prophets whose writing appears in the Bible. And that's why I say 17 who appear in the Bible, because they had many more prophets, but God decided to let the writing of these 17 prophets to come in his holy word. Out of the 17 prophets, 5 was major prophets and 12 were minor prophets. And you might say, well, what's the difference? And, you know, was they more learned or was God loved them more? It has nothing to do with that. The difference between a major and a minor prophet was the amount of writing each one of them wrote. You see, Haggai was given a task to stir up enthusiasm to rebuild the temple of the Lord. He was instructed to encourage and also rebuke them after their recent return to the land of Jerusalem. You see, what had happened, the Judeans with God's people, and they were so disobedient. They had began worshiping idol gods in Jerusalem. And God sent a prophet and tried to warn them and told them to turn around. And he sent the prophet Daniel to tell them that if they didn't, that he would allow the Babylonians. And I have to say allow, because whenever God was with them, they won the battle. But he said, if you keep doing what you're doing, this is what I'm going to do. And Daniel came with a prophecy that if they didn't turn around, what God would do. Sure enough, they didn't. God allowed the Babylonians to come in, and they captured them and put them in captivity. And they became exiled in Babylonia. Now, if anybody always wonder, because plenty of times you hear when the Israelites, the Jews, was in Babylonian captivity, that's how they got there. See, God used the Babylonians as his agents of judgment against the Israelites for their sins of idolatry and rebellions against him. You see, the Babylonians came in. Jerusalem was plundered. Remember, Solomon had built the beautiful temple for God, the temple that God didn't allow David, his father, to build, which Solomon built it. But when the Babylonians came in, they destroyed Solomon's temple. You see, most of all the elites of Jerusalem was taken into captivity in Babylon. City was grazed to the ground, and only a few people were permitted to remain to tend to the land. But you see, after 70 years in captivity, which was the amount of time he had prophesied to Daniel, the king that was over the Jews there was King Cyrus. And I'm going to show you how God worked and how he let you know he could do whatever he want, when he want, how he want, for who he want. So this king named Cyrus, God touched his heart. He decided to let the Judeans go back to rebuild the temple. That was the first time. See, our lesson tonight is going to talk about the second return. So I want you to be right where I'm at and get it. God allowed them to be Jerusalem be destroyed, and King Cyrus, God touched his heart, and they went to rebuild the temple. But look what happened. They started the work. And watch this. When God allowed them to go back, and I always say God always gives you the provisions and the provision. When God touched the king's heart and he decided to let them go back, the king told them, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you that. I'm not going to send you back empty-handed. And then he said that all of them could go back, but some of them decided to stay for all different kind of reasons. Some of them was too old. Some of them had been born in Babylonian, because you see we're talking about 70 years, and they was used to it. Some of them had gained great status in Babylon, and they weren't ready to go. But look what the king told them. He said, now these people leaving, y'all deciding y'all don't want to go. But he made a decree for the ones who wasn't going back to help support the ones that did. Don't tell me how God don't do. Don't tell me what God won't do and can't do. So they were there for 15 years, and only the foundation got completed. You see, they start complaining. And what happened when the Babylonians captured them and took them in exile, other people start living on the land. And a lot of the people, they call them Samaritans. And if you know anything about the word of God, the Samaritan and the Jews didn't get along. In other words, the Samaritans was Gentiles. So plenty of people had went and lived on the land and had started establishing and making their political moves and all of these things. So when they went, they had a lot of opposition, but they allowed the opposition to win, and they stopped the project, and only the foundation was done. That was the first time. Years and years passed, 15 years to be almost exact. God raised up, he had a new king, and his name was Darius, to let the second trip be made back to Jerusalem to finish what was started. Darius agreed. He also furnished them with a lot of things that they needed. He also gave them papers to be able to go to the powers that be. You know, God worked it all the way out. He was right there, like that song said, in the middle of everything. And see, every time God sent the people back, the first time you're going to see this name in our lesson tonight, Zerubbabel. He sent Zerubbabel and Joshua with the people to lead them. And under Zerubbabel leadership, they built the foundation. So now the new King Darius is going to allow them to make the second trip. And now God sending his prophet, Haggai, with a new message for the people to finish what they start. And in Haggai's message, if you read the chapters, God told the people through Haggai to consider their ways. That's our background for tonight, so I hope not. Let me just tell you, see, the things that I said, you know, it may be, you know, it's a lot of writing on what I said. So if it perks your interest, see, Bible study can't teach you everything, but I hope that it'll prick your heart enough that you want to go and research some and find some more and build on what was being said. That's your responsibility. You know, I teach Bible study, and I had a Monday night Bible study at my house for years, and one of the ladies, after a long time, a couple of years, she said, Sister Diane, she said, I have to confess to you. She said, I come to you every Monday night. She said, I don't read, I don't study, but I come to you, and because you explain things so plain and simple, she said, I understand what you're saying. But she said, the Spirit spoke to my heart and told me that I was coming to you to be spoon-fed. And for me, she said, and for her to get to another level, she knows she would have to participate in the studying for herself, like 2 Timothy says, so that she could go even to higher heights. Excuse. So, that's what I want you guys to know. And I'm reading now the scriptures. We in Haggai, the first chapter. And I'm going to read the first through the fourth verse. And the scripture reads as follows. In the second year of Darius, that's the second king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak. Now, this is not the same Joshua that took over after Moses, because I think some of you may think that, because he's Joshua. And how I know it, the other Joshua daddy name was Nim, N-U-M, and his daddy name, Jozadak. The priest saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O you dwell in your cedar houses, and this house lies in ruins. You see, Hagar came to tell Zerubbabel and Joshua, who had started the first journey, that he had a message from God telling them, let's get ready and let's get it done. But you see, the people said the time has not come for the Lord's house to be built. You know, we could always make excuses. You see, the Jews became confused about what their true priorities were. Hagar was sent to them with a message of exhortation and encouragement to complete the construction of the temple. Shortly afterward, he was joined and supported from the prophet Zechariah, the priest that the prophet who had been sent before, now joins Hezekiah, joins Hagar. I'm sorry. So now the two prophets is getting together to talk to the people. The people was excusing themselves for not finishing God's house by saying the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. God made it clear through the prophet Hagar that the time was indeed come. You see, when King Cyrus was king and God told him to come and let him go, they let him go. And then they was under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Joshua. They didn't get the job done. And only the foundation was completed. And Hagar 1 opens up 15 years later. And then now Hagar's come with the message from God to encourage them to complete the work that was started. Now, I'm going to read the 5th through the 9th verse. And the scripture says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And you see, when they say, therefore, thus saith the Lord, that's actually God talking. In the Old Testament, when God is speaking, you're going to say, thus saith the Lord, or God saith. This is actually God talking to his prophet to tell the prophet what to tell the people. So, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Watch this. 6. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you never have enough. Ye drink, but you are never filled with drink. You have clothes, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with a hole in it. Somebody need to be shouting right now. And 7 said, thus said the Lord of hosts. Again, he tell them, consider your ways. He said, now look at this in 8. He said, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, said the Lord. And 9, he said, you look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, this God saying, tell him, I blew upon it. And then he say, you probably asking why. So look what he tell him. He say, why, said the Lord of hosts. He asked the question why. He's telling them why this is happening to them. Why, said the Lord of hosts. And look how he answered. Because of mine house that is waste, and you all run every man to his own home. You see, now God tells them to consider their ways. It's as if he's saying to them, let's examine what is really happening here. Because you haven't put me first, all that you do will be unproductive and fruitless, and all that you possess will never satisfy you. You know, they have so many people in life like that right now. All they have is never enough. Or either they're going through the shuffle and doing all of the work, but they never can achieve anything. He said, look at this. He said, you have sown much seed, but when it's time to harvest, you only bring in little. He said, yeah, you eat, but it's never enough. You drink, but you never get full. You have clothes, yeah, but not enough to keep you warm. You're forgetting about me. You're spending all your time working, trying to get gain, but you never see it. It's as if you're putting your money in bags with holes in it. How many people you know get a bunch of money in their hand and don't know what to do with it? God is telling them, you know, take care of me and I'll take care of you. You see, God is letting them know he's in control. And if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. Now consider what part you play in all of this. Now, if you go to the mountains, get the woods, build a house, I will take pleasure and I will be glorified. See, even though God always come sometime with correction or punishment, like letting them go into captivity and be exiles from Jerusalem to Babylonia, he still take care of you. Look what he tell them now. He say, all that you did for yourselves, using my time, your time belong to God if you don't know it, my resources, everything you have, and the many gifts that I have given you, you use it all on yourself. You left me out of everything. And look at you now. You still don't have nothing. He said, and furthermore, when you bring it home, I blow on it, causing it to scatter. I am in control. You see, Judah's problems was confused priorities. Like Judah, you know, sometimes our priorities with our job, our family, the things we put first in our lives show that we are also confused sometimes. You have to step back and relax and look maybe in the mirror and ask yourself, what is your first priority? And you might give an answer. You might say, God is my first priority. But then if you ask yourself the question, where do I spend all of my time? Who or what do I spend my time with? You have to evaluate it. You could say the Lord is your first priority. But do those words really add up to how it really is? You know, your money. Everything that God has ever given us is not all just for us. And, of course, your gifts. You know, some of these people was probably great craftsmen, and they could do certain specialty jobs in the temple. But they wasn't going to use it for God. They did it for their houses, because when the scripture opened, they say, you and your houses are cedar. And God used that because the houses of the kings and the palaces and stuff, the top ceiling was cedar, and cedar back then was the most expensive wood. And they had to start building their houses, and they put cedar in their houses. And God's temple was still not completed. But by the time of Hagar, the first people that came back had did a foundation. 15 years later, that's where we at tonight. God said, you take care of the physical, of your physical, by all means necessary, but you neglect the spiritual. Now that God had their attention, the question was asked to them. He said, yeah, let me tell you why. And he go on and tell them. You know, somebody say, child, like you might tell your child, boy, let me tell you why all this happened. You want to know why? And then you tell them why? Well, that's what God was doing to him. He answered, because my house is in ruins and all of you run to luxurious homes. It's like God is saying something is not right with this picture. If you look at verse 10 and 11, it says, therefore the heavens over you is stayed from dew. That's like the heaven is not going to produce dew with its help to water their crops and, you know, things like that because the ground was so moist. He said, therefore the heavens over you is stayed from dew. I ain't going to even give you no dew. And the earth, it stayed from her fruit. All them trees y'all planting, ain't nothing going to grow on them. And then 11, he's saying, I call for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wines, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of your hand. And, you know, a drought is when everything is dried up. So look what he say. Upon all the labor of your hand. I'm sure that is not a good position to be in with God. You see, God had to remind them that he's in control. He didn't let the dew fall for the crops. The earth will not produce any fruit for you. I call the drought upon the land and the mountains. He said, you ain't going to have no corn, no wine, no oil. You got to know why he said that. You see, these things was their major crops, which provided an income for them. Now their security and their livelihood was jeopardized. If we go to the last 11 verses 12 and 13, it says, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest with all the remnants. Now, whenever you hear the word remnants in the Bible, the remnants God called are the people of God, no matter how bad the situation is, no matter what nation they may be in and how they worshiping idol gods and they doing all of these bad things that God say not to do. The remnants is the ones who stand tall in the midst of. So whenever you see the word remnant, and you see, let me start over in 12. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest with all the remnants of the people, all of the people that was holding steadfast, holding on to the confession of their faith. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them. And the people did fear God. Then spake Haggai the Lord's message in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, when they got ready, the remnants came, they feared God, you know, they got in place, they agreed with the prophets. Look what God tell them in verse 13, the end of that verse. I am with you, said the Lord. You see, after they received this message from the prophet, they began to consider their ways. Many times we have to read the writing on the wall before we begin to understand. You could look at some of the things going in your life, and you could see what part you're playing in it, and you could see how you left God out of this, and you might have left God out of that, and you might have didn't do what God asked you to do, and everything that God gave it to you, you're holding it so close in your breath, and you're not willing to share, and you're not willing to tell someone else about God, which is our reasonable service. It could be a combination of all of these things. You got to read the handwriting on the wall. The Bible said that God is a jealous God. And you have to remember that. And God got the right to be jealous, not like some man about a woman. Because God has the right to be jealous because he wants what's his. And all that he fully deserved because he is God. Many times we place many things before God and they become our idol gods. The most place you're spending your money could be your God. The things that you cherish most could be your God. Your job, your education, your fine car. And God wants us to have all of these things. But he don't want us to put them first in our lives over him. Like they said, you can't serve two masters or just be beholden to those things and leaving God and doing him any kind of way, because you can. But he say, consider your ways. And that's what these people in this lesson did. But you see the results that they got. God is saying, consider your way. And then he makes the statement, I am with you, said the Lord. Here we see that even after they disobeyed him, they left his house in shambles, used everything that he had given them for themselves. Come on now. And they even had the audacity to be still worshiping idol gods, because remember, they came from Babylon. And in Babylon, they didn't worship God. They had idol gods, and they was dipping and diving, you know, and with some of the idol gods. And you see, they probably went with the idol gods when it was more convenient for them. Come on, y'all. Because you see, this idol god might let you do things that God say you shouldn't. So they had a lot of that still in them. They still had the audacity to be worshiping idol gods. When they began to have a changed heart and began to consider their ways, they began to understand what part they was playing in it. You see, you have to understand what part you're playing in some of these things that's happening in your life. You know, a lot of people like to say, oh, the devil is busy. Y'all got to remember, the devil is limited. It's almost like God got him on a leash, because when he went to Job, he had to ask God every time he got ready to do something else. Yes, the Satan is the prince of this world, but it don't trump God's power or control. You see, when they began to have a change of heart, consider their ways, and they began to do what's right, because it just was the right thing to do, God said, okay, I'm with you. God is an awesome God. And you see, God didn't keep saying, well, y'all know y'all did wrong. That's how y'all been in captivity. And if you do it, I'm going to put you back in captivity. Like some people, when you do something wrong in life, they never let you forget it. They just pound on you and pound on you about it. But when they had a change of heart, God just simply said to the prophet to tell the people, I'm with you. God is an awesome God. And 14 and 15, the last two verses said, And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnants of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Let me look what the scriptures say. In the fourth and 20th day of the 6th month. Let's look at this. Of the 2nd year of King Darius. Now the 4th and the 20th day. So that's the 24th day of the 6th month. So say that was June 24th. It's when they start getting it together. You might have not paid that much attention. I didn't mean that much. But if you go back to the first verse in Haggai chapter, it opens up with, in the 2nd year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, in the 1st day of the month. So that was June the 1st when Haggai came with the message. Got it? The 6th month in the 1st day. So that would have been, if you know if their month was like ours, it would have been June the 1st. And here we see when they got it together, the scripture 15, the last verse in this chapter says, in the 4th and 20th day. So that was it was still in the 6th month, but it was the 4th and 20th. So that was a short period of time, is what I'm telling you. You see, God stirred up the spirit of the people here, and we see God is working in and through them because he's stirring up their spirit. You know, God even helped their spirit to become willing and able to do what he do. That's how the Holy Ghost is living in us, to store up in us. See, God is our present help. Right then they needed their spirit stirred up, and he stirred it up. Like he's stirring yours up, and the Holy Ghost is talking to you and walking with you and asking you to go here and not there and do this and not that. You see, God is our present help no matter what it is that we need. You see, he stirred them up, got them ready, and they went to work. If you notice this chapter open, and like I told you, the 6th month, the 1st day, and then when they stopped, it was the 24th day of the 6th month. That's only 23 days after Haggai brought the message. And you guys might not know if you don't study the prophets. Rarely does a prophet message produce such a quick response. You know, the prophet Jeremiah, they called him the weeping prophet because no matter how much he talked, the people wouldn't listen. He used to cry. So this was 23 days. How often we hear a sermon or teaching or preaching and say, this is something I need to do, and later forget about it. That's what's called being a hearer, but not a doer. You see, these people considered their ways and realized it would be better to obey than to have to sacrifice. Come on now, y'all. We all must put God first in all of our ways, and he promised that he will work it out for our good. And you see, just like he told them, he said, I am with you. Never, ever forget that God is in control. Control of what? Control of everything. The scriptures say it's the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and everything that dwell therein. So how you think you're going to short God? How you think you're going to continue to keep doing it with you, the way you're doing it, but every time you need him, you're wanting to jump? You want your emergencies for him to take it as his urgencies. You, when everything is going fine, you don't need him. But soon as the storms of life come in, so many people call upon the name of the Lord. And I'm not saying God don't answer. But you see, the thing is, they know of God. But until you get in his word, which is his will, which explains to you who he is, you'll never know God. Never forget he is in total control. Whatever you need, God got it. He owns everything. And you have to understand that you are only a steward. Check yourself. Do an inventory on who or what you put first in your lives. And it could tell you just like it, you know, like you know, it'll tell you that maybe your priorities is not in place. And then I tell you tonight, consider your ways. Put first things first. And there's a scripture in the New Testament, even though we're in the Old Testament, in the book of Matthews, and the scripture is Matthews, the 6th chapter, in the 33rd verse. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's saying seek the things of God first. God already supplying your needs when you're not even seeking him. So just imagine if you seek him. Just imagine if you put him first in everything. And I'm not telling you it's going to make you get rich. It might not give you the CEO job. But it'll give you rest. And it'll give you peace. And you'll have faith that you're going to be all right, even when it don't look all right. It'll strengthen you because the word of God is our strength. It's not what we go through, it's who we go through it with. So, as, hey God, had a message from God for his people. It's the same message for the people today. God is asking us to consider our ways. That's the lesson for tonight. And I pray that you read the 2nd chapter, because they start doing the work and they still were saying what they had to say, and plenty of them was downtrodden, because you see Solomon's temple, it was awesome, it was magnificent, and the temple they're building now will not, you know, be really, can't stand side to side with it. But God told him, he said, I'm gonna fill that temple. It might be small, it might not have all of the, you know, whatever. He said, but my presence is going to be so heavy in there, you're not going to miss anything. So he was letting them know, don't always have to be the biggest and the best. He said, I'm with you. And when God is with you, he's full. See, God don't come to be with you. You know how sometimes you might go somewhere to do something and you say, well, I'm going to go, but I sure don't feel like it. And they looking for money, but I'm going to go, but I ain't going to give no money. When God is with you, he's completely with you. God don't separate himself and lay some on the shelf so that you can't get the fullness of him. Hallelujah. So that's our lesson for tonight. I pray that everyone got something that they can use. And one of the callers, your number been pressed since the beginning. I don't know if it's an error, But caller, your number is 504-228. Your mic is open. Caller, 504-228-57. Did you want to speak? Well, that must have been an error. If anyone would like to say anything, you could press your one button at this time. I know somebody should have something to say about God, something that he did or doing, or something you need him to do, or something you hope that he do, or you have a praise report, or you got a word of encouragement. You could press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 504-355. Your mic is open.
Yes, good afternoon. Praise God. Hey, Miss Diane, this is Kathy Fosford and with Mr. Willie Fosford. We've been listening to you tonight. And we want to
Hallelujah.
But I just want to take and thank you and your audience for praying for me because I did get me a teaching job in St. Bernard Parish.
Praise the Lord.
That's what I say, Miss
Diane.
Glory
to God.
Yeah,
God
I had seen you when I was too hard. Yes, yes, Lord, because I've been struggling down here for 7 years. Came back home to see about my family, but it's all good now, and hope God keep me that way. So I just want to thank you, and thank you for continuing giving these beautiful Bible studies, because it keeps me from not having to leave my house and go to church to go to Bible class, and I tell my pastor that all the time. But I love him, and I love you, too. So I just want to take and thank you again. And keep on praying for me because I keep on praying for the world.
Thank you so much, Sister Foxworth. God bless you, sweetie.
God bless you too, Miss Diane.
And since Sister Foxworth said that, I want to let everybody know that my Bible study is not a substitution for church. And, I mean, some people Bible studies at night, old people can't drive, they call in, you know, and different things like that. But I don't never want to give the impression that I think that I could substitute anyone affiliation with the local churches. All right, caller, your number is 904-609. I think that's Brother
Alex.
Doing, your mic
Diane?
Is open. This Brother
How
Alex?
How you doing, Sister Diane? Yeah, this
I'm
me.
Doing,
How you doing
fine. I'm doing fine.
All right,
fine.
Good. Listen, look, I need some prayers for my family in Florida, Tallahassee, Madison. The storm is hitting them really hard. They don't have power and everything. I had come to, but I need some prayer for them. And then I also need some prayer for my brother. He's in the nursing home. My younger brother, he had a massive stroke, and he has a feeding tube, and he really can't, he can't talk right now, but he's saying a few words right now. But I need a special prayer for him to try, you know, make him come through this. And then
All
also,
right, brother
I need
Alan.
Prayer for me to keep getting on. I need prayer for me to keep getting on here every Wednesday and meeting with you guys, because I'm learning a lot, and I really appreciate you, and I want to meet you one day. I want to meet you
that
so can I
sure
can see the
happen.
You have taught me so much.
Well, we're gonna do something about that, okay?
Okay.
I promise. Anybody
I got
who would
you.
Like to meet me, you know, some people is in right in the New Orleans area. And, I mean, it's nothing to get together. I would even give us a prep breakfast or something if maybe one time I could get to find out who all would be willing to come. And we could just fellowship face to face. So I'm going to think about that, okay?
Okay, that'll be wonderful.
Thank you, Brother Alex, and I love you, brother.
I love you, too.
Thank you. Anyone else have anything they would like to say or ask for prayer? If anyone would like to lead us in prayer, I'll be thinking sometime y'all get tired of hearing me praying. That's why I just ask that. But I think Sister Elyria Mack is on the line. Sister Mack, if you're on the line, can you please press the one button? Okay, maybe she's not. Sister Mackie?
Yes, ma'am.
Praise God. You know, I don't want anybody to think that I'm putting Sister Mackie on, you know, Jump Street up, you know, putting, asking her to do something she don't want to do. See, I know Sister Mackie, and I know her heart, and I know her service, and I know her capabilities. So, Sister Mackie, would you please pray and lead us out tonight? Remember the people in the storm. Pray for Brother Alex that he can stay strong in the Word of God. Brother Alex, also, he has two brothers that is in need of prayer. And, of course, you do it any other kind of way you want. Because, you see, Brother Alex asks for that. And when we ask people, when people come on the line and ask for prayer, I have always said for all of us to keep these families lifted up. You know, he's asked for prayer. And that's what we should do. So, Sister Elyria, would you please lead us in prayer?
Yes, I can. Lord, we just come thank you, Lord God. God, we know that you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. And it's according to the power that works within us, Lord. God, we pray right now for Brother Alex's family, his brother that's in a nursing home. God, that you would touch his body in the mighty name of Jesus. Because your blood covers us, oh God. It keeps us. It directs us, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we know too well what those in Florida are going through, Lord God. We've been praying already that you would hold back the winds, Lord. That everything would be, oh God, maximum, that everything would be smooth for them, Lord God. Even those in Georgia, Lord God, those that are in the Carolinas, Lord, as it moves on to Virginia, Lord God, we know that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, Lord God. We know that you're a God of love and compassion, a God of peace, Lord God, and you can speak to the winds as we've been praying. Peace be still in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we can even speak to the storms in our lives, oh God, and say peace be still because your word declares many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you, God, will deliver us out of them all. And we know that your grace is sufficient no matter what we go through. Your grace is sufficient, oh God. And it's by your darling son, Jesus, that you sent to redeem us back to you, that we can praise your name and we can magnify the name of Jesus. We can glorify you. We can say, Abba, Father, because you are truly our Father, Lord God, and you reign over our lives, and you're in control, oh God. And we know that your promises are yes, and they are amen, Lord God. And we know that all we have to do is call on the name of Jesus. You said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and we shall find. Knock and the door will be open unto us, Lord God. And we come asking and seeking and knocking, Lord God, at your door, Lord God, that you would have your way, Lord God. Oh, God, I pray right now for the household of faith in the mighty name of Jesus. God, you said with all our getting, get understanding. And we thank you for giving us understanding, Lord. We thank you for crowning our head with knowledge and wisdom, Lord. We just bless the name of Jesus. God, we give you glory this evening. We give you honor. We give you praise, oh God, because you said when praises go up, blessings will come down. And we are a blessed people. We blessed in the city. We blessed in the field. We blessed going out and coming in. We are blessed. Wondrously blessed, oh God. Oh God, and I thank you because your word says, except the Lord build a house, they that build labor in vain. God, we thank you for building our houses, Lord God. We thank you for putting our foot on a solid, firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the Righteous One. Oh God, you are our Lord and our Savior, and we reverence you tonight. God, we thank you for Sister Diane, Lord God, that you keep on encouraging her and strengthening her, Lord God, that you give a word of wisdom each week, Lord God, and as she passes it on to us, we just bless your name for her, Lord God. God, we just thank you. We just can't help but thank you because there's nobody like you, Lord. Can't nobody do us like you. Can't nobody give us peace that passes all understanding. God, we thank you no matter what we go through. We thank you, Lord God. And we give you honor and praise tonight. We give you the glory. We just bless the name of Jesus. Oh, God, this is a trying month for me, but I just thank you. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, Lord God, because your glory. Oh, God, you say we move from glory to glory, and you have been blessing and reviving and restoring. And I just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray every prayer in Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you for every believer that's on the line, God, tonight, Lord God. I thank you for giving jobs, Lord God. I thank you for giving increase. Oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for increase, Lord God. Oh, God, I thank you because your word declares, though the outer man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. And we thank you for renewing us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, we bless your name, Jesus. Holy God, holy God. Yes, you are a holy God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Sister Elyria. You are a true prayer warrior. And I thank God for allowing you to be in my life for such a season like this. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Yes,
I have one more caller who pressed the button. Your number is 210-902-99. Your mic is open.
Hey, Diane. I pressed it by mistake, but that's okay. I enjoyed the service, and you know, you always give me something. You know, feed a little something, put a little seed somewhere for me to follow up on. So I thank you for, you know, what you do. I love you. Sorry
it's
I didn't get to see you.
It's my best friend, Paulette.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it was no mistake. I just feel joyful just hearing your voice. So it wasn't my mistake.
All
and
right.
I thank God for you. And I love you, and if it's God's will, you continue to call in. And we have to call each other a little bit more, not on the station, but just to catch up.
Yeah, I'm going to make that a point this time, okay?
I'm going to do the same thing.
All right.
And God loves
you,
and so do I.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I love you, too. Love God. Thank you. Bless everybody on the phone.
Bye-bye. Praise God. Okay, no other buttons is pressed. I thank each and everyone for your comments. I definitely thank you, Brother Alex, for sharing with us. My girlfriend, Paulette, from way out of town, Elyria, for your prayer. Kathy Foxworth, along with Mr. Willie Foxworth. And I thank God for each and every one of you. If the Lord say the same, we'll meet back next week, same time, same station. But until then, let us evaluate ourselves and consider our ways. and see what the Spirit has to say to us. And with that being said, good night to each and every one of you. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good night.